All right. What's happening? It is Monday. That's what's happening. It is the 4th of August. We had a family birthday supper for my brother on Saturday, which was very nice. And it's amazing how my two little nephews are growing up so goddamn quickly. You know, they get to that stage where the one is now 11, the other one's or 10 and 8 or 9 and 11. I can't remember. But they're becoming human beings that have opinions and argue with each other and say things that you don't expect them to say and stuff like that. It's quite cool to see people.
It's going to be downhill from here for the next few years.
No, I don't think so. I think this is the most interesting part because you actually see a personality and a character emerge, which is cool to see. Anyway, that was the excitement of my weekend. Did you do anything fun?
No, but I did watch, I binge watched the whole thing.
What?
Called Makers, I think it is.
Makers.
South African.
Oh.
Yeah.
What are they making?
I wouldn't say they're making anything, but they're planning a massive heist. And I tell you, it was, I thought, okay, let me just see what this thing is.
Yeah.
And I'm always interested in how far advanced South Africa is compared to the rest of the world when it comes to filmmaking or series making. And I was completely hooked. Watched the whole thing. Yeah.
It's called Makers, huh?
Makers.
Maybe I'll watch that.
All about, it feels a bit strange watching, because it's so well done, something as close to home as cash and transit heists and police corruption. When it's made up, and the show actually comes with a warning of, what is it, criminal technique.
Oh, really?
Along with, you know, when it's like sexual nudity or whatever. Criminal technique was one of the things. Because you do, you watch it and you think, hang on, you're giving criminals ideas here.
Well, I mean, that's one place we really, as South Africans, can say that we are advanced.
Yeah.
Criminal technique. Advanced. Like, criminal technique in this country is right up the charts. We're very good at that stuff.
Yeah. I also learnt, which I didn't know, maybe my churches growing up were different, but that you can get massive loans from churches.
Really?
Mm.
Well, the churches are lots of money. That's
and
for sure.
And if you do your fundraisers through your churches, they get 10%.
Oh, it's called a tithe.
A tithe, yes.
Yes. It's quite a good business. I'm still a little pissed off I didn't go into the church business.
Yeah. I'm a bit sad. I'm a
could have had
backslidden Christian.
Sports cars, yachts, private planes. I mean, you see some of these guys in America and here, frankly, there are lots of people who are pastors or whatever, bishops, whatever they call themselves, made a lot of money. They live the life of Riley, and they only work once a week. You know, go in and do a big sermon because they do the big sermon. They've got other like. Minor
juniors,
spiritual leaders or whatever that handle all the usual bullshit from Monday to Sunday, but on Sunday afternoon they do their big one and that's it. Anyway, all right, you talked about crime just now. There've been 700 people arrested in Johannesburg. It's a drop in the ocean. Joburg, you could do quadruple that and it still wouldn't even scratch the surface, really. But they were arrested on Saturday night during something called Operation Shanella. Hundreds of people suspected of gender-based violence, drinking and driving, and illegal immigration. They just went in and got them. 700. Now, if they did this every Saturday, I'd say awesome. But at least it's a show, you know?
That's a sure. That's a lot. That is actually a lot of people for one night.
It's a lot. But they should really be arresting the Joburg City Council, because here's the story that I told you about in the first hour that's going to make you pissed off this morning. Got to be told. I can't ignore it, and I can't pretend it's not going on. So the finance minister, Enoch Godongwana, has actually issued a warning to the mayor of Johannesburg, Dada Morero. He said to him, he's got 2 weeks to address rampant wasteful spending or face intervention from the treasury. Apparently, the Joburg Metro has spent 24 billion rand irregularly. Irregular expenditure just in 2024. So that's the last financial year.
That's a billion
It's 2 billion a month.
2 billion a month, yeah. That is just irregular.
Yeah, this is 2 billion a month that goes missing. That's just paid to the wrong people or...
It's stolen.
If you ran a business that was 20,000 rand of irregular expenditure, someone would pick it up immediately. They'd go like, you know, someone in accounts, someone would go, this is weird. We got 20,000 rand or 24,000 rand a month missing or being spent on stupid shit. If you're a bigger company, 240,000 rand. If you're an even bigger company than that, let's say it gets to 24 million rand in a huge, big multinational corporation. That is not going to go unnoticed. This is 24 billion rand. And the Joburg City Council cannot tell you what's happening with that money. You know, their budget is 89 billion rand. Okay, so that's for a year.
Mm.
So of that, they spent 24 irregularly. It's unbelievable. South Africa's richest city, plagued by service delivery failures, crumbling infrastructure, massive utility losses.
Crime, corruption.
It marks yet another national-level intervention following Eskom-related disputes and public criticism from the president, no less. Still, Morero retains majority support in council, having survived their recent no-confidence vote. Well, the first place to start is to find out what the bank details are of everybody on the Joburg City Council and to check those out.
Yeah.
You know, what is the point? We keep hearing we've got Fika and Rika and all of these things that we are meant to subscribe to whenever we get a new phone or whenever we open a bank account or whenever we buy a property or we do minor transactions even. Let's say you're just opening a card account at a fashion retailer. They have to Fika you and Rika you, and you have to go into your financial services and figure out where you're linked to what and whether you're a South African citizen.
3 months bank statements.
Absolutely. So they should go in and find out what payments were made out of this 24 billion that's missing.
Or what companies these people have set up.
Or what companies these people have set up. I mean, how hard is it in an era where everything is digital to find these things?
Yeah.
It's not difficult. And then you will find out, no doubt, along the way, there are people in the banks who are also helping them facilitate these things. You will no doubt find out that these people have multiple accounts, multiple businesses, their family members are all benefiting from it too. Go after all of them and put them in fucking jail. Why do we have to have our money stolen away from us in South Africa like this? 24 billion rand in 1 year in Johannesburg alone? Do you know how many kids could have been fed? Kids that have no nutrition, whose brains aren't growing properly, so they're never going to grow up to be adults that can handle a job. Do you know how many schools we could have built? Do you know how many potholes we could have filled? Do you know how many lights we could have made sure were on? Do you know what we could have done against drugs or illegal immigration or people smashing their cars into each other at high speed at 3 a.m? Do you know how much of that we could have done with 24 billion rand in 1 year's irregular expenditure? It's outrageous. We've got to find out who's stealing and put them in jail. There's no room anymore for us to do commissions of inquiry or to try and uncover complicated commercial relationships with the business sector. This is direct stealing that we should be able to trace. We should be able to see exactly what the city of Johannesburg spent money on in the last year.
But that was 2024, right?
Forensic audit.
It's still carrying on now. And it happened in 2023, 22, 21, 29.
Right.
So where do you start?
I would say go all the way back to 2010. I mean, that's a good...
It's going to take so long, and then it's going to be swept under the rug again.
Well, 15 years, we can uncover a lot of the trouble. I think that, you know, ultimately, a lot of these thieves will end up dead, like our former deputy president, Didi Mabuza, and no one will care anymore. But at this stage, we've got to find people and put them in jail. It can't be difficult. There's a commercial crimes court, right? There was a special court that was set up. What are they doing that's more important than finding out where 24 billion rand went in Johannesburg? Put people in jail. Don't even give them a chance to explain. Say to them, you are presumed guilty until you're proven innocent. We see you got 100 million rand in your account last month from the city of Joburg. We're just going to assume you're guilty, put you in jail, make your life an absolute hell unless you prove and you give us actual documentary evidence that exonerates you. But let's do this for politicians and for people who have ill-gotten gains from politics. Let's create an assumption, like they do in France, that you are guilty until proven innocent. So you're arrested. You have to now, the onus is on you to prove that you're not guilty.
Yeah.
Let's do that. Already it'll change the whole game. Because you'll have people who will be less likely to involve themselves in this kind of activity because they'll know that there are going to be repercussions.
Yeah.
At this stage, there are no repercussions. There's no accountability.
It's a free-for-all.
You just steal, and then if they catch you, they go, you're very bad to have been doing this. I mean, you can't rely on the National Prosecuting Authority because they clearly can't do anything right. So put them in jail. Put people in. Create. Build another jail for all I care. With 24 billion, you could have built 3 more jails. Anyway, and the fact that this Dada Morero from the ANC still retains a majority support in council, having survived these no-confidence votes, maybe he's the one who's dispersing the money. That would be my immediate assumption.
Well, why wouldn't it be the person at the top?
How's he keeping his support if he's so cuck at his job? He must be paying people off.
100%.
All right, so that's what we've got for the news this morning. There are slightly better stories. I just don't have them. For Joburg, this is the Dada Morero story that I need you to know. Leanne will tell us, though, while we're talking about money, how one company in South Africa has had to basically scale down from 750 million rand that they were doing before Trump's tariffs. Now it's going to cost them 750 million rand more to be in operation from today.
Yeah, so what literally is the company? Overnight. It's a company in the Eastern Cape.
Yeah.
So basically what's happened is overnight they've gone from 500 employees to almost nothing.
Shit. What do they do?
There were also 3,000 people working on their local supply chain as well. So this is obviously since Trump's 30% tariffs.
Yeah.
And it's called Gender Mark Automation, but nothing to do with gender, as in what gender are you or what do you identify as? J-E-N-D-A Mark. And based in Gqeberha and obviously involved in car manufacturing, but not only that, agricultural goods like ostrich leather, exporting raisins to America.
Wow.
And obviously with things becoming 30% more expensive, they've basically closed down.
Not good.
It just shows how quickly, because when were the tariffs implemented?
1st of August.
Yeah. Just shows you how quickly. 3 days.
And it's shut down.
And it's gone.
Yeah, that makes me very sad. Of course, the temptation is to say, well, this is all Donald Trump's fault and he's mean. But the reality is that these tariffs...
our response that has been...
Yeah, these tariffs needn't have come into place if South Africa's government had just taken seriously what the United States had asked them to do. Things like, why should U.S. companies have to have BEE shareholders? Those companies are not from South Africa. They have nothing to do with the history of South Africa. They don't need to pay a price for apartheid or anything else. It's just ludicrous. So, you know, if Cyril Ramaphosa thinks he can get away with this, like he gets away with everything in his life by just hiding his head in the sand and pretending, oh my God, I'm so shocked. What's happening here? I don't know what's happened. It's such a surprise. Everything in his life is a big surprise. He had plenty of warning here. He was embarrassed and humiliated in the Oval Office by the President of the United States. And he had from that moment on the opportunity to get things a little more right. He has done nothing. I don't think they've taken any of this seriously. I don't think they want to. The sad reality is that our government thinks that they can manage this situation without America. And they think that they've got friends like China and Russia and that everything will be all right. We'll export our stuff to the rest of Africa, was what the president said in a press conference not so long ago. These are not people who understand the economy. These are not people who understand the world economy. They don't understand our place in it. So don't expect any miracles. And expect to hear more very, very sad stories about how companies that are employing 500 or more people are going to have to close down, which means more poverty, more unemployment, more difficulty. That is not the fault of some mean president of the United States of America. This is a trend that has been happening in South Africa since Cyril Ramaphosa became president and probably before that. So you know what? Direct your ire at the right person. Because if you don't create the conditions for prosperity and then prosperity doesn't come, you have to look to the people who are most responsible for those conditions. And that would be our government. It's a sad reality. Okay, well, let's talk about women. I know it's your favorite subject.
Yes.
And we kind of touched on this in the first hour this morning because women's sport, Leanne, is very passionate about this. But let's talk about women in engineering because I have heard from experts in the field that the more egalitarian a country is, the more equal women and men are in that country, the more likely women are to choose careers that are women careers and the more likely men are to choose men careers. The more unequal a society is, the more different men's and women's earning power is, their position in society, their representation in politics, their representation in education institutions and so on. The more unequal they are, the more likely you are to have a kind of similarity between the sorts of careers that women and men will do. But you have some information on engineering in South Africa and women. Let's hear it.
IMESA, which is the Institute of Municipal Engineering of Southern Africa, has just released its stats saying that...
I always read their reports. I find them... That well, is the reason... you know, you got into that new series. Well, I get into the IMESA. When IMESA tells me they're going to release a report, I am just fucking beside myself with excitement.
The reason I picked up on this was because we... Again, it's media that portrays it that way.
Yeah.
That, and there are certain drives to have women more interested and studying subjects like math, science, engineering. And now it's actually happening. So the number of women in engineering in South Africa has increased by 12%. So women, since 2005. So in 20 years, it's increased by 12%.
Okay.
And
that's not bad.
It's not because there weren't opportunities before, but it's also just you need to have an interest in that.
Yeah.
By the way, this also includes architectural engineering as well.
Okay.
So yes, with women now make up 30%. Of engineers.
Well,
that's
something to be proud of. I don't think it's going to get much higher than that, but that's terrific. You know, you can't put a round peg in a square hole.
That's it.
But if you are one of those women in South Africa who's amazed by, interested in, and intrigued with engineering, and that's a career you go into, bloody fantastic. I just don't know that many women, and maybe I haven't met the right kind of women, who are interested in building bridges. Or... You know, how you create a dual carriageway highway, or where you construct public works buildings that have, I don't even know how to describe the kind of civil engineering that women might be interested in. Mechanical engineering, electrical engineering, these are obviously areas that are going to attract a certain number of women, and that's great. I think it's problematic when you try to artificially tip the scales.
Yeah.
Because, you know, men, for example, are less likely to become teachers and nurses. They just are. You're going to find some men who are teachers and nurses, and that's great too. But if you force it, then it does feel square peg round hole-ish to me. And I think that this is great. 30% of our engineers are women. Awesome.
Yeah.
We should be very proud of that. But let's not become hooked on, as we have been for the last 35 years, demographics. Because, you know, the minute you go, well, our board has five women and three people in wheelchairs, and it just feels like you're patronizing everybody.
Yeah.
And you might not, diversity is not always your strength. I know that that's our national motto, but diversity just for the sake of diversity is not good at all. It does nothing useful. Diversity is great if people share values. And then you have different opinions and different backgrounds and people with amazing takes on things because they've had such different experiences in life. That's where diversity is a strength. Mm. And I don't think anyone will deny that. But when you're employing people or putting them in a position just because you need to tick a box from a language, race, gender, ethnicity point of view, you're actually punishing those people.
Yeah, it's like growing up in certain families where you're expected to be a lawyer or a doctor.
It's exactly the same thing. Yeah. And you know how many people are like that, that they've been told, oh, well, you know, you're so clever, you've got to be a medical doctor.
No, you can't let that go to waste.
Exactly. And then they end up going off and becoming a medical doctor and they hate it.
And they hate their lives.
Yeah. So it's a balancing act. What can we say? You're never going to get this absolutely right. But that is interesting. 30%, I would have said, is a pretty good number. All right. So I've also heard this a number of times. I've heard people say, you got to trust your gut. Okay, that there is something, there's a whole creature inside of you. And by creature, I mean that there is, just like you have your mental state of being, your physical state of being, your spiritual state of being. People say that there is a gut state of being.
Yes.
That actually your gut biome is almost like a separate organism that has its own rules. If that is not in balance and you don't have a healthy gut, everything else goes awry. And I think most of us know what that means. You know, you have those days where you're just off, and it's either because you've eaten something that you shouldn't have, or you haven't eaten at all. We all know what that feeling's like.
Yeah.
But now they're getting more and more information about these gut microbes and what they do to us. And apparently they make up an enormous proportion of our overall body weight.
Yeah.
Right? That's, I mean, we've got like a couple of kilograms that are just gut microbes.
Mm-hmm. And it's almost like a trend now that everyone's talking about it. But Duke University researchers have uncovered what they're now calling a sixth sense, which is the neurobiotic sense.
Mm-hmm.
It allows the brain to respond instantly to microbial messages. And central to this discovery are neuropod cells, which act like gut detectives. They spot specific proteins produced by microbes, and they fire off signals directly to your brain.
Huh.
So you get these real-time updates straight from your stomach immediately, even as soon as you put something in your mouth.
And does your stomach communicate with your brain by going...
No, that's how it communicates to other people. So it comes across as really dumb and like quite out of control.
Okay.
But actually it's quite clever.
So does this involve burps, farts...
No, all of those are just for show.
Digestion.
It involves, you know, that feeling where, so a lot of people think that if somebody is having a low sugar episode,
mm-hmm.
where they're kind of shaky and they need something to eat, it's not actually sugar that it is the immediate fixer to that. It's protein.
Oh.
And it's that feeling where you're craving it so much, or you don't even know that you're craving it, but you'll put a certain type of protein in your mouth and immediately it's like, that's what I needed.
Huh.
Before it even reaches your stomach.
I mean, the best example of why this is true is when women are pregnant and they have a craving.
Mm-hmm.
And it's obviously something that the baby wants, that the baby needs, that their bodies together are desperate for, to create some sort of amino acid or whatever it might be that the cells all need.
Yeah.
And then they crave that particular thing, whether it's a sweet thing or a sour thing or a particular kind of fruit or vegetable.
A crazy combination.
And it happens, right? I mean, we know that these cravings are very real, and that's your gut biome telling you what it wants.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense. This is not like woo-woo wacky nonsense.
Exactly. It's actually proper science. Okay. And Dr. Hanan will tell us we should not be listening to our gut.
No.
In this case.
No. You know, your gut's very good at like digestive stuff, but it shouldn't be making your decisions around the workplace or home.
And they have a very important role in how much you need to eat as well. And again, that might unravel why some people overeat.
Well, like that hot dog lady that I can't get over. I promise you, Leanne, 2 sausages per hot dog.
So that's 4 Vienna's.
Yeah.
And 2... Were they the short...
No, the long ones. The long ones that had been burnt with the... You could see it had been on a fire.
Oh, wow.
You know, it had like the lines on it. 2 sausages per hot dog, 4 hot dogs in total. She was just... she must have been in a competition. There's no other way to explain it.
Oh, my word.
But I have to tell you, I felt like I had overeaten. I was an overloaded arc this weekend. Just... I suppose it's the cold or something, but you kind of feel like, ooh, I need this to eat. And then you eat it, and afterwards you're, that wasn't a good idea. Does that make sense?
It does. I find laziness helps a bit.
Mm.
For instance, yesterday I had nothing in the fridge.
Oh, so you just
so
didn't
the
eat.
Whole day I had 2 boiled eggs because I refused.
Laziness is your friend.
To buy food.
So laziness is your ally.
Yes.
Okay. I got you.
It gives me this felt figure.
Yes, I mean, listen. It's we figured out that it's got to do with what you put in, but it's also got to do with how much exercise you do. So the laziness may help from the input of food point of view, but it's certainly not helping with. The other side of the equation, right?
Yeah,
if you weren't lazy, you might make a big meal for yourself, but you might also go to gym.
Yeah, and you'd probably make better meal choices and include things like vegetables.
Yeah. I don't know if you – do you have certain things that you crave in winter as opposed to the rest of the year? Because today's a cold day, right?
Yeah.
So I know I'm going to be around the office for a while, and then I'm going to want to – get home and get warm. That's the main thing. And then I'll think about food at some point towards the end of the day. But I don't really have any particular like winter things. Some people have they want, you know, certain kinds of food in winter.
For me, it's more about like in winter for me, it's like a red wine thing.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And in summer, a white wine thing or a rosé. But often that's because of what you're eating as well. But no, yeah, look, soup.
I'm over it already.
Yeah.
I'm over it. Like all the things that you really like about winter, I've had enough of now.
No, we're at the end now. It's really.
So listen to
tiring.
Jethro. Jethro says, I hadn't eaten beetroot in years. About 3 weeks ago, all of a sudden, I had a craving for beetroot. I eat it twice a week now, which is so weird. That is weird. And I'll tell you what, that to me is proof that this gut biome thing is a very serious discussion. The T Health Show has been talking about gut health for months. Go and listen. Oh, of course. Yeah, Dr. Mark. He's terrific. I will go and listen to that. How come you don't have Babalaza, Gareth and Ass? Limited edition says. Okay, I got to ask this question of South Africa. Why would anyone want to drink on a Sunday? And why would you want to party on a Sunday night? I drove past a complex, a big complex with lots of flats, and there were people sitting outside. They'd made a fire. They were loud. They were having a time, right? Lots of loud music, people shouting and clearly enjoying themselves. There was a lot of drinking going on. And it's Sunday night. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, do you guys have work tomorrow?
Yeah.
Because the last thing, I mean, I'll party on a Friday or a Saturday, but don't ask me to do anything on a Sunday.
No, I told you driving here once, there was a man who was like a skittle crossing the road.
On a Monday, yeah.
In the dark on an early Monday morning. And I just thought, oh, what a way to start your week.
So I have to know, forget about the question from Limited Edition about why we don't have a babalas, because I don't drink on
a
Sunday
at
all.
Do they mean today specifically?
Yeah, today. I'm telling you, a lot of people arrive at work on a Monday and they are not at full throttle, which, you know, again, everybody has a different pattern in their life. I love Mondays. I love working on a Monday. I like getting a whole lot of shit done on a Monday. Then the rest of my week is easy. But some people push it on I think it comes from, it's the last day of my weekend. I've got to make the most of it.
Yeah.
I'm going to stay up late. I'm going to drink. I'm going to be with my friend. I don't want to go back to work. Maybe it's that. this thing of drinking on a Sunday. And I mean, places in Joburg are busy on a Sunday. You would think not, but they are pumping. People are out. They drink on a Sunday. They do things. And I need to understand why. I need to understand why it is that they don't do that on a Friday or a Saturday. When they can have the day to recover.
As well on a Friday and a
Saturday. Oh, you reckon they're doing all three?
Yeah. Wow. That's what it feels like.
Then they've got to be making a lot of money because that's expensive. Yeah. Imagine living in a shack on the Cape Flats and still voting ANC, says Chris Smith. I don't see how that's got anything to do with anything that we've discussed in the last while. But okay, Chris, get it off your chest. It's important to purge. Don't lie, Leanne. You mainline Sambuca all year round, says Congo Chris.
Sambuca. That's an interesting choice.
I haven't had Sambuca.
No.
That's right. When last did you have that?
I cannot remember when. And it was very big, I remember.
Licorice-y, hey?
Yeah, yeah. Licorice-y. Yeah. And then something to do with burning coffee beans on top.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Wade says, I spend Sunday thinking about how much I hate Monday. Well, then that's a waste of Monday and Sunday, Wade.
Oh, but there is that Sunday anxiety. That
Sunday blues?
Up.
Do you get that?
Not so much blues, but just anxiety. And also kind of, I thought I would do this weekend, but I didn't.
I used to get like that. And I think that waking up really early like we do on a Monday morning is maybe a kind of cure for that.
Mm.
If you start your day late, or you have the ability to fuck around on a Sunday and waste time and cogitate and ruminate about the next day. I don't think that's good.
Mm.
I think like if you know you have to get to sleep because you got a 4:30 wake up call, you kind of don't have time to mess around. You get into bed and you go to sleep. So you don't start a series.
Also, when everyone else is awake and doing things by 8, your mind's already warmed up.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Must be hairdressers because they're all off on Monday, says B.
Oh, that's true. There are even a lot of restaurants are closed on a Monday.
Yeah.
So maybe restaurant staff. Yeah.
So here's Judas who says, I do find a jaw on a Sunday is fine as long as it's not at my place. I don't want to clean up after everyone on a Sunday.
Oh, gross. Imagine.
I'd hate to have people around on a Sunday.
Mm-mm.
I mean, I even think, you know, the most I'll do on a Sunday is go for a lunch with family or whatever.
Yeah.
Because
I have a Sunday. I was
quiet.
Home about 7:30 last night after dinner.
There we go. And by the way, this is not because Leanne and I are old and boring. I've never been a Sunday partying guy, ever.
Mm.
Wild horses, even in my 20s, had to drag me out of my house on a Sunday. It's just a nice day to recharge. I'm not saying that's for everybody. If you're a massive Sunday party person, just explain to me what you do. Because I don't know how that works. Pumlani says we drink on Sunday because we don't live by rules. Okay, maybe that's it.
But then by the same token, you're going to be hurt by your own rule because Monday's going to be hard.
Goon says that Sunday drinkers are all the waiters and bartenders who couldn't do it on a Friday and Saturday.
Restaurant
now, that's a good
staff.
Explanation.
Yeah.
Okay. In winter,
and
I drink
beauty salons and massage places, they're closed on a Monday too. Because they have to work on Saturdays.
And strippers. Strippers have Mondays off usually.
Yeah.
I know that because I once made the cardinal error of saying to an out-of-town friend, oh, no, we'll go to the strip club. And then we got there and it was closed and it was so embarrassing. We had to go to a normal restaurant. all right. So Bitcoin Butt says, in winter, I drink a shit ton of rooibos. So maybe that's a thing, you know, those cravings that we were talking about in the gut biome and winter food. The old Doors nightclub had a good system. Go on Tuesday to get a comp for Friday entry. Go on Friday to get a comp for Saturday. Sunday is recovery mode. Yeah, that makes sense.
That's a lot.
Then we've got, is the Real Network having a year-end jewel this year? No, absolutely not. Not if I can help it. I am retired, says Brian. I only wake up at 6 a.m. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for the Gareth Cliff Show. Well, Brian, we're going to have to figure out something else to wake you up on at least 2 days of that 3-day week. But I don't know. It's not like I sleep later now that we don't do the Tuesday and Thursday shows.
Mm.
Because remember, I used to do 5 shows a week. And I still wake up pretty early on a Tuesday and Thursday. I like it. I've got used to it. I have Stockholm syndrome.
From you yourself.
Know? Yeah, I have my own version of Stockholm syndrome where I'm the kidnapper and the kidnapped. And now I just can't help it. I wake up. I can somehow switch that off on weekends.
No, I'm the opposite. For some reason, I wake up super early on weekends.
What?
I think I get excited that I've got the whole day to myself, and then I eat 2 boiled eggs and go to bed.
Oi, Alexander's just upset me. What are your plans for your birthday at the end of August?
Oh, no. It's your birthday month. You hate that.
No, I'm okay. I'm actually okay with the birthday. I just don't like the fuss made. Mm-hmm. So if it's minimal fuss, then I'll do something. But it's got to be minimal fuss. Not too many happy birthday to you. I hate that stuff. I think I was traumatized by Spur.
Blame it on Spur.
I'm going to blame it on Spur. Brian, you should watch On the Bounce at 3 p.m. on a Thursday. That's a very good idea. That show is on fire at the moment. There's such good stuff. They've interviewed some amazing people in the last while and will continue to. So Ben and Sandile are just doing amazing work on The Bounce. If you haven't subscribed and liked our channel and you haven't seen that stuff yet, what the hell are you doing? What are you doing with your life? Then we've also got this. This is a good one from Komotso. There's castor oil is good for gut health.
I've heard things about castor oil, but like old wives' tale things.
Isn't castor oil, did they use that in cars?
No, not in cars.
Oh, sorry, that's castrol. It's almost the same. Castor, castrol, you know, same kind of thing.
I don't even know where castor oil is from.
I don't either. And I don't know if it's good for my gut health, but I'm not going to be trying anytime soon. When are we going to have a braai, Gareth? What do you mean a braai, limited edition? What, like where I have to provide the meat and the drinks, and you just come and enjoy a braai? Never, ever, ever in the rest of my life is that going to happen. I can't imagine anything more dreadful
than having a big braai, a braai en masse.
With like, I get to talk to you guys every morning on this show, and it's the most fun ever. But if we all had to actually stand around a braai together, I think we'd all hate it. I don't think anyone would have fun with that. It would just be awful. I can't imagine anything worse. James, get bottle service with sparkles for Gareth's birthday, Sushi King style for the podfather. Please do not. Do not even suggest it. I'm going to put a moratorium on birthday anythings. And if what day is my birthday this year? I haven't even looked. Let me check this out quickly. Oh, good. It's a Tuesday. I won't even be in. I'll just work from home that day. Then I don't have to deal with any of this shit. See? I'm getting it right.
You're getting it right after all these years.
Year by year, I'm getting closer and closer to everything working out perfectly. It is Women's Day, though, on Saturday. Does that mean we have a public holiday?
No.
No bonus?
Mm-mm.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Oh, you see?
Sorry, you couldn't women get something out.
Women couldn't even get that right.
You couldn't get something out of the women this time.
Damn it. I was hoping for that.
No. It's not happening.
All right. Well, at least I do get the impression things are getting warmer. So I'm gonna hang on to that. I'm going to cling to that. If we can't have a year-end party, let's have a party for Gareth's 60th. Well, that'll be in 12, 13 years?
It's not far away.
That's 60. I mean, that's terrifying, right?
Yeah.
I'm not scared of anything in the 40s or 50s. I'm scared of 60. I think 60 is a major one.
I can't.
By then, if you haven't done the things, it's not going to happen. Am I right?
Like
you can do amazing and wonderful and groundbreaking and tremendous things and have huge success in your life in your 40s, 50s. By the time you get to the 60s,
I'm just surprised.
It's an energy thing.
Every morning that you know, we're still here. I haven't thought
right.
that far.
Let's see here. Drink lightly on Sundays. Here's some more of this useful information and advice, right? Drink lightly on Sundays. alcohol with lots of ice or alcohol followed by water. Uber if you have to be far from home, but be back by 6 o'clock latest, taking Monday into consideration. This is proper advice.
Also sounds like decades of experience.
So Marius says, live next to a settlement. The music plays loud the whole day and those people are partying. And the music then dies around 7 o'clock. No wonder when you go to a store, everybody's tired. Yeah, I think that there's a thing in South Africa, and it does appear to me to be a very South African version of how to handle a weekend, that Sundays are a party day, that you've got to push it as far as you can on a Sunday. Mm. It's just, you argue with me, fight with me if you will, but that's what I think. In the near future, we could have a specialist discussion about SARS and the limitation for funeral covers and life covers. A lot of people are overinsured, and there's no transparency with people knowing. Well, that is frightening, because I do think that we probably have too much of that stuff. I do want to get our guest in here, because we only got 15 minutes with him now. Are you sure? So are we just going to say hello now? And yeah, should we do Wednesday? Okay, if you're happy with that. See, this is a live show. You never know what could happen.
Catches you unawares.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Anyway, we will talk to Gavin on Wednesday then. And we've also got Stefano coming in on Wednesday, right? Okay, so we haven't had Steph here for a while. He'll put me right on things like soccer and water polo and all of those things that I know nothing about. So if you want those, if you've been irritated by my ignorance over the last while, then you're going to have that sorted out for you. There's an amazing Korean barbecue restaurant in Pretoria. It's called the Golden Hour. Korean barbecue does sound good.
Yeah, that sounds very good.
Right? I want Thai food.
Well, I don't know.
Didn't you just get back from that part of the world?
Just got back from Bali, yeah. And
you did have that stomach upset.
That food is amazing. I did have stomach upset, but that was day one and then done. But the food is, everything is tasty. You know, obviously going to a reputable restaurant because there's stuff there that you just shouldn't eat.
No, sure.
But everything has flavor, which is really amazing. I mean, here we some of our elements are a bit bland. Like your rice might be a bit bland, but there every element has
a great
amazing
taste.
Flavor. Yeah,
and the way they combine certain things is what I think is so clever. But I've got a craving for that at the moment. So maybe that's
your microbes are telling you something.
Hey James, did you ever repeat your solo braai? A week later. So you see, this is catching on. If my contribution to South African culture is anything, it's going to be that it's okay to have a braai just for you, a selfish braai, right? And you get the biggest steak, or if you want chops or whatever else it is, and you just do it for you. It's the greatest. James is worried about foot and mouth disease.
Is that going on?
You know what, James? The only foot and mouth disease you have to worry about is when you put your foot in your mouth.
Mm.
There is no need for anyone to worry about that. No, really, it's not a thing. And I know John Steenhuisen is looking into it as Minister of Agriculture, but it's really not a big worry. On the gut topic, says Veronica, Amasi is a good gut bacteria. I drain the water out and I use the solid for cream cheese. You're welcome.
Mm.
I'm very happy
for you.
Keep
doing what you're doing.
You do that, Veronica.
You go,
you bad girl. Are we going to see Leanne on the 1 day per week live show? Yes. Now, so first thing is it's going to be 3 hours, which is what we used to do. But it's going to be a live show. So we're going to have people coming in and out the whole time, sitting down for a conversation, then going off to make themselves some tea, just like you do in the show, you know, when you're listening to us or watching. So it's going to be a live thing, and we're going to do that properly. So it's going to be very entertaining. Have all your favorite people on. We will have guests popping in and out, but mostly it'll be fun conversation and light stuff and a little bit of what's going on in the news and all the rest of it too. So lots of laughter. That's the idea. I want it to be fun.
Mm.
I don't want to be talking about heavy and serious politics, economics, social stuff, philosophy. I mean, we can obviously have those conversations, but mostly it'll be like when you get together with your friends. That's the idea.
Very cool. Love it.
Yeah, I think so. And on that note, we will call it quits for this morning. We'll see you on Wednesday at 6 a.m. Have an awesome week. Ciao.